This is the Jamal Show.
Down in.
It's time to wake up, my friends. Time to wake up. And this time when you wake up, I want you to stay woke. Stay woke. Don't ever apologize to anybody for having a mind that is awake and inquisitive. Growth is a sign of life, and I love my life. Don't make any mistake about it. This show is an expression of life, an appreciation of life, and I very much hope that you appreciate yours. So I give greetings to the living this morning. I give greetings to the living, especially in the face of such extreme disaster that has beset our country. Here we are struggling through a pandemic that has already killed over 800,000 Americans, only to get hit with the Omicron virus, which, surprise, surprise, may be even more deadly than the last COVID attack. Then there are these unique natural disasters, tornadoes showing up where and when they aren't supposed to. Tornadoes lasting 2 hours. Who's ever heard of that? I didn't know tornadoes could last longer than a few minutes. Super tornadoes, they call them. These tornadoes swept through 6 Midwest states last week, killing hundreds of people. 6 people killed in an Amazon warehouse, trying to make sure you receive your Christmas packages. Dozens of people were killed inside of a totally destroyed candlestick factory after being told that they would be fired if they left. And the people that tornadoes didn't kill, well, some of them certainly wished they were dead after having lost loved ones and virtually everything that they own. I've heard stories of entire families being lost to the world. God bless them. Thousands of people are in the freezing cold of the Midwest right now with no power. It's a nightmare. Watching tragedies occur like this certainly made me appreciate my 50th birthday last week. And like every birthday, every time I make another year, I always think about those in my life who didn't make it quite as far. Close friends and loved ones. This year, I was doing that in Miami Beach once again. I spent a long last weekend there just as the snow started to break in Hartford. My good friend Deborah accompanied me for the weekend trip to keep me some company. And you know what? I came into a little bit of conflict. Conflict is my point for today, so please hang with me while I talk a little bit about conflicts and resolutions. I don't want to go too deep into what happened when I was in Miami Beach, but I'll summarize it to say that I heard someone talking ish behind my back. Real dudes may know what I'm talking about. I was outside of a drinking establishment, rare time, and I heard a guy making negative comments towards me. I confronted the guy, but not in a confrontational manner. I confronted the guy making these comments in a way that I thought would calm the situation. See, my friends, I make the mistake of frequently thinking that I have this amazing power to reason with people. I always think that I can bring the temperature down on a situation. I think I'm pretty clever. But no matter what I said during this incident that occurred in Miami Beach, I only seemed to make the situation worse. I was taken aback by how fast things began to get out of hand. Now when situations get hot, I always think about this one TV show I always watch. It's called The First 48. On this show, cameras follow the police as they investigate a murder. And you know the lesson I always take from that show? Here's the lesson I always take from that show. Nobody ever leaves their house thinking that this may be the day they get killed. We know this is true because no one would leave the house if they knew this would be the day they got killed, right? Would you leave the house under those circumstances? I wouldn't. When you think like that, you tend to avoid unnecessary conflicts. And because I do think that way, I tend to avoid unnecessary conflict with others. The key word here is unnecessary. What that means is, I don't want to get into conflict over anything stupid. Am I afraid of conflict? No, not at all. I actually believe that humans grow from conflict with each other. But we should all realize that any conflict, big or small, can have huge consequences. It's not a joke. From any conflict, someone can die. And since I hate paying consequences myself, I tend to avoid unnecessary conflicts. To me, that's just common sense. I can't fight every battle. That would leave me too tired. So let me choose my battles. Let me choose the necessary ones. Now, the funny thing is, what happened in Miami Beach on my very first night there, that was a conflict I didn't see coming. And that's why it disturbed me so much. I didn't see it coming. And I'm Jamal. I see everything coming. As Jamal, I'm making my business to win before any battle starts. I'm on some Art of War stuff. So I felt like I slipped. I wasn't on my P's and Q's. Mother Harlem taught me better than that. I was disturbed by my own performance. And in the end, I basically had to walk away from a conflict. I had to take the higher road because I had deemed this conflict unnecessary. Now, it didn't bother me to back away from a conflict. No man should be bothered by that. But what did bother me is that I didn't see it coming. It bothered me that I fell into a conflict, and that's the worst way to find yourself in one, to fall into one. Falling into a conflict you never saw coming can be dangerous. Just ask the victims on the show, the first 48. And I don't want to end up like them. So I can't afford to slip like that, nor can you. So I implore you to walk with more awareness than I did that evening. Now, I don't want to be rude and drone on with monologues today. The truth is, folks, that this is our last show of the season. We will be back in January, but today we do have some guests in the studio with us in person and by phone. We need to get a move on to introduce these folks because we have a lot of topics to cover today. We plan to have a lot of fun and drop some serious knowledge. So I hope you don't mind if I set things off the right way. Welcome to Saturday, my friends, the very next day of your life. This is the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent, live and on your favorite podcasting network. This is the last broadcast of the year of our Lord, 2021. And I am glad to see you all made it through the storm. My name is Jamal. I am an information junkie from Harlem, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. It's very contagious, so you will become infected with the Jamal virus, but you will like it. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford studios at WKND, and I'm doing that live. Up until the day when black people get back some of what America has taken from them. That means I'll be on the radio forever, my friend. So, unfortunately, you get but what's behind door number two. On this day, the revolution will be televised on the Jamal Show Facebook page live. So, go check it out, folks. Shout out to my deaf people who, of course, cannot hear me at all. So, why did I say that? Well, that's because Jamal Show exec Deborah is translating the show into American Sign Language on the Jamal Show Instagram page. So, if you really want entertainment, just go to the Jamal Show Instagram page. You will definitely find it there. It's great to watch. Gotta say hello to my own personal black pastor. His name is the Bishop. Morning, Bishop. Thanks for your support. Everybody should have a good bishop as a friend. Moving on. I'd originally thought Dr. Mack was on vacation, but unfortunately for us, he still knows how to use a phone. So the bad news is that I won't be the only blowhard on the air today, as Dr. Mack will still be calling in soon. Now, if it makes you feel any better, listening to him may hurt you a little bit. It may hurt, but it's still less painful than being in his dental office. Take it from me, I have experience with both. Please allow me to get another much more important guest out into the open. He was here 2 weeks ago, and once again, he's drinking the same stuff that made him want to come the first time. My friends, a man who adds legitimacy to everything he does. Please be kind to our guest attorney, John Rose. Applause, little applause, because I don't want to mess up my show by trying to play the electric applause. Former Hartford corporate counsel, former New Haven corporate counsel, Mr. John Rose, how are you today?
I am good.
That's great. If you need anything, I'm the one that can get things done here. Now, while we are here live on the radio right now on WKND 97.5, you can hear us best by using a live radio app on your phone or laptop like Extreme Mix Radio. Some people use TuneIn. Some people use Simple Radio. It doesn't matter which one you use. They all work it like RuPaul. My friends, it's been about 2 weeks since you last heard our voices. 2 weeks ago, we talked about time, and I wasted a lot of yours. Just kidding, I only wasted a little bit of your time 2 weeks ago. Today, my theme is conflict, and there's a lot of that going around, isn't there? Speaking of conflict, the January 6th committee is one of those few topics we'll be touching on today. And how will I pull this off? Well, how I always do it, by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. And it isn't easy with climate change upon us, making the weather so extreme that one tornado can travel 227 miles. Yes, that's one tornado, and it wasn't even a Category 5 tornado. What's going to happen next when it is a Category 5? What then? Are we prepared for that, Attorney Rose? Who's going to save the saviors? Do you think climate change is responsible for this?
Of course climate change is responsible for this. And black men and white men and black women and black children and all kinds of people are suffering because of large corporate entities that have caused the kinds of crap to go on in this country that the weather is not... We have control over the weather.
Well, it's funny. The corporations are actually in front of the governments. The governments are the ones dragging their feet on climate change. The corporations have to answer to their shareholders, to their customers, right? So we have these companies coming out like Grove and that are all green now, right? So the corporations are a little bit ahead. I would say countries like China, Iran, these people aren't doing anything for climate change. But we're going to get into that in a minute. I just want to say, please don't laugh, but I am a Connecticut criminal attorney. So here's a shout-out to the Connecticut Bar Association, and let me add a shout-out to the Connecticut Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, and also one shout-out to my firm, the Guided Law Firm. If you need criminal defense, call us. Call us before you have to ask for permission to do so. Now, if you came late to the party, I would remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network that ever existed. That statement makes me a handsome liar, but we can make it all true with your help. So please share the gift of the Jamal Show with a loved one, because I know math. And that would mean that I can brag about 2 listeners. Lastly, please know that my views do not represent the views of this station. My views represent this station in the same way that Donald Trump represents America. He doesn't, and my views don't. By the way, you can call and join in the discussion at any time. Just call 860-218-2173. I'd love to hear how much you hate the show, but unfortunately, that's not in my contract. That's in the bishop's contract. And if you know me, I stay in my lane. So if the bishop wants to answer all the hate mail, who am I to cause conflict with that? I'm not the type to rain on your parade, bishop. So everybody save the hate for the bishop. I feel like I can speak for him, and trust me, he appreciates it. Okay, folks, now we do need a short break, but before we go, I need to open up discussion on an unplanned topic, something I saw last night. I need to ask Attorney Rose his opinion on this issue first, because before we go to break, this really shocked me. What shocked me, you ask? Well, like many Americans, I've grown accustomed to watching the latest court trials of police shootings. You heard of Dante Wright, have you not?
Oh, yes, I have.
So I've watched just about all these police shootings way back to Trayvon Martin. Just recently, we had Ahmaud Arbery. We gave our comment on that just 2 weeks ago. What do you make of this Dante Wright trial? Now, just to remind you, Dante Wright is the young man who was killed, apparently by accident, when the cop pulled a gun instead of her taser. I don't know if you've seen any of that trial, but they pulled the taser to stop Dante from driving away, but it was her gun, of course. You couldn't tell the difference. 26 years in the force.
The only thing unique about this case is it involves a white woman who was the shooter. And by the way, she should join that wonderful club of the capacity to shed tears in a courtroom.
Oh, so you did see it. Okay.
And to suggest that somehow this justifies what she did.
I didn't see it until late last night, and I was wondering if you would catch that. But the shedding tears thing is a big thing. Now, I actually thought she wasn't Rittenhouse. I thought that these tears were, you know, they were legitimate.
She going to jail.
Yeah, so she's trying a little bit about
she's
that.
Not a, thank God for small favors, she's not a cop anymore.
I respect the fact that she quit the police force immediately. I respect the fact that she's trying to tell the truth on the stand. She's telling truths that hurt her. You know what I'm saying? For instance, everyone's been talking about...
No, she's answering yes to questions that the prosecutor is putting to her that only have yes as the option.
Yeah, you're not giving her the break that I am. But everyone's been talking about how Dante Wright had a warrant. But he was actually pulled over, I believe, for having air freshener hanging from his rearview mirror.
That's against the law in
now,
some
check this
state.
Out. Now, it's actually worse than that. Actually, I found out last night that he was actually stopped because the woman who shot him was training another officer on how to make police stops. She actually said on the stand, if she wasn't training another officer at the time, she wouldn't have stopped him. So, I mean, I've gone to medical colleges before to get cheap medical care. You know, I used to do that in New York. When I wanted dental care, I'd go to the dental school. Mm-hmm. And they give it to you for cheap because the student's working on you. I didn't know you can get that from cops. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know the cops practice on you. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, he was a guinea pig.
He was a guinea pig. And he's now just a dead guinea pig because of racism and stupidity.
Well, here's my question.
Just amazing crap that woman did.
Here's the important part. My question is, would she have wasted the time of anybody other than a black man for training?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to use the most extreme example. Jeff Bezos is driving down the block. She sees Jeff Bezos. Hey, I got to train you on stopping people. Let's stop this guy right here. You think that would have happened? I don't think so. I think Jeff would have been like, you know, I got things to do. Is this a real stop or is this about my air freshener? I mean, he wouldn't try to run, of course. I got to add that part in. But that incenses me. That the fact that it was a training stop. What if he had to go to work?
They should have no real bullets in a training stop.
Right?
They should use police officers as the guinea pigs.
Or shouldn't they use another officer to act out?
How about that?
You know, when they go to the shooting range, they use like plastic shooting people. They don't use like real people. Like, hey, we need to train, and it's really important. So, can you walk out and let us shoot at you? They don't do that, right? So, the idea that she would admit on the stand, well, we just pulled them over because we were training somebody. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if she looked at who was driving before she did that.
I don't wonder. You know that she did.
Hey, here's a guinea pig that we can just pull over for kicks. You know, to train you. You know, the idea, that just incenses me. So that never came out. That never came out. Let me, do we have some callers already right now? We don't have callers right now? All right. Well, we're going to want to take a quick break soon, but I'm going to keep going for the time being because I really want to get into this January 6th thing. Have you been watching the January 6th?
Oh, yeah. And the one thing that's good about the January 6th thing that I really like is that Benny Thompson, a black man from Mississippi, is the chair of the committee.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And just in case you didn't know he's from Mississippi, you can hear his accent.
Oh, yeah.
And let me give him applause, too, for being a black man from Mississippi. Because that in itself, every time I meet people from Mississippi, you know, I'm always wondering about them. You know, do we have some callers now? Okay, let me go ahead and introduce Dr. Mack. Are you there? Are you on the phone?
Hey, Jamal.
Put him on loud.
Hey, Jamal. John, how are you?
Have you been here? Just a little bit.
Hey, Jamal. Jamal, you hear me?
Yeah, we've been discussing a little bit.
Hey, Jamal and John.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you, man. I hear you. Hey, you know.
Looks like we have some technical problems.
Okay.
All right. I don't hear him talking back.
I'm here. You hear me? You hear
okay,
me?
Okay, I hear you. Now, the question is, have you been watching the Dante Wright trial at all? Because
bit, yeah.
We just found out last night that the Dante Wright was actually pulled over on a practice stop.
Yeah. You know? But what I found interesting is you brought out some good points. But the reason is, why did she quit the police force? Why did she quit? She quit. She wasn't fired.
I know what
fired.
You're getting at. You're getting at. She quit to save her pension, right? That's what you're getting at. Because
like,
you don't
go.
Trust anybody, and you think that you want to be cynical. Go ahead.
Right, right. She quit because she wanted to protect her pension. Now, is this the case also where the police chief quit an hour after her?
I think it was that situation. That was in Wisconsin. That was because the police chief didn't want the guy to quit. In this situation, the police chief didn't quit. I don't think he did, but she did quit immediately, and she went home that day. And
the first thing that cops do—you should know this—I've worked a lot of my life with cops. The first thing that cops do in a situation like this is they gather together, get their union rep in, get the lawyer for the union in, and they make their plans as to what they're going to do with the life that is suddenly on the line. That is a white life.
Right. So, I mean, you sound cynical, but if you had seen her last night, Mac, I think you would have said she was trying to be truthful. I mean, she did go to the stand pretty quickly, right?
Oh, I thought the truth set you free, not kill you.
So, I mean, do you recognize that she had no intent, that it was an honest mistake? Do you recognize that?
I have difficulty giving... No, no, I don't want to get... No, no, that's not a given. No, that's not a given. If there was no justifiable reason, probable cause, as you call it, for pulling him over, then she should have let him alone. It's tough enough in this world, being a black man, to just be casually pulled over by cops.
On a training stop, that really gets to me. Because you have...
That's how accurate the training is. We pull over mostly black people. There's one!
Yeah.
Here's one we can practice on really quickly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you don't check the license plate to see if he has a warrant first. I mean, she was supposed to check her training, her taser every morning. You're supposed to make sure your taser works. So you're supposed to test it. She admitted on the stand that she never did that. That's negligence on his face. You know, she admitted that even though she's training his officer, she really had no experience in the street. She never used her taser before. You know what I'm saying? So why was she the one training? Okay, so I'm a little bit more easy than you guys are. Y'all guys are tough. Y'all don't forgive anybody for killing a black person. But I'll tell you this. I believe it was a mistake. But I believe that sometimes you do have to pay for your mistakes. You might not have to do life in prison without parole. You might not have to go to the death penalty. But sometimes you have to pay for your mistakes. And to prove that, I submit to you, when's the last time you heard a black man accidentally killing a cop and not going to jail?
Hey, that's a good point.
Any, you've been around a lot longer than all of us, so I'm sure you've seen a black man kill an officer by accident and not go to jail. I'm sure you've seen that. Tell me about it.
Of course I have. Let's see. I'm racking my brain, and I'm coming up empty.
So I will tell you that I have an uncle who was shot in the back by cops and killed, and he was a cop. And even that wasn't really investigated. That was in 1973. So how are we doing with the computer? Okay, so that was back in 1973. So we know that they can be a little bit reckless, right? And so we don't really trust them in training videos. I'm going to move on to this January 6th meeting right quick, because this is really getting bigger than it was supposed to be. The Republicans didn't even want to have a January 6th commission at all, which is amazing for a group that had 8 Benghazi commissions to try to nail Hillary Clinton, all 8 of which cleared Hillary Clinton, all 8 of them. Cleared her, but they kept on having them. And 4 people died in the Benghazi attacks in another country. Yeah. Then we have, you know, people rush the Capitol, take craps in the middle of the rotunda, pee on the walls, steal Nancy Pelosi's laptop, and the Republicans are like, why do we need to investigate that? And Benghazi needed 8 investigations. Mm-hmm. The Capitol riots, no investigations.
It was an insurrection. And one of the things that I'm troubled about is there was a guy yesterday who was sentenced, and he got 5 years. He's the man that you can actually watch in the film.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Beating on police officers with a fire extinguisher. But the most he got was 5 years, and that's the biggest sentence made. I think the word insurrection, I went to law school 100 years ago and have done a lot of reading about crimes committed by Americans against Americans. Insurrection, it seems to me, ought to cover and be caused to be a much more serious offense than 1 year and 6 months. These people ought to be going to prison. They should be made examples of.
Well, I can guarantee
you. It's frightening.
Being a criminal defense attorney now, I can guarantee you, even at the ripe old age of 81, that if you go outside and beat on a cop right now, you would get more than 5 years.
I think that's fair to say.
You would get more than 5 years. And these people meant business if you didn't see it. They're being cops with American flags. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I couldn't get away with that. I know people that are in jail right now serving 25 years for just resisting a cop. You know? But now we know. I always wondered why the Republicans didn't want to investigate it. But now we know more about that. Because people don't like investigating themselves.
And look what's happening. Mitch McConnell, of all people, has now termed it a horrendous event, talking about backing up and turning around because he can see what's happening.
Well, I don't like Mitch McConnell very much, but he is intelligent. He is intelligent. And he was intelligent.
Old fart who wanted to be kicked out of Congress, yeah. Like a lot of the old farts who were there.
Right. He was intelligent enough not to be there. He was so intelligent I'd be there because a lot of his friends were. Mm. So that's why he can say, hey, let's sit and find out. Because he knows his text message wasn't in it. He knows his text message isn't going to be found. He knows his name isn't going to come up. So he's like, oh, well, you know, let's see what happens.
I assume he's a lawyer. I don't know that, but from Kentucky.
Yeah.
But he's watching. You are right. He's not a stupid man. He's watching what's happening now, and the whole shift is happening with respect to this committee. People are giving it information. They're worried about being prosecuted for not cooperating with Congress, which is a criminal offense.
Well, at first they try to blow it off.
Some of the stuff that's coming out is going to put people in prison.
Yeah, and that's why they didn't want to support the thing, because they knew, hey, wait a minute, I have text messages. Yeah. Now, it just shows you how much privilege they had that they wrote those text messages in the first place.
Absolutely. It's frightening.
You know, if you know someone's robbing a bank, you know someone's robbing a bank, I'm not going to text them that day. So people think I'm down with
him. How's it going?
Yeah. He's like, yeah.
They're giving you money?
These people are like, oh, you know, you want to go into this room and, hey, we're trying to overturn the election. I mean, just openly, like, you know what I'm saying? Even Donald Trump is smart enough not to text people. He doesn't use email at all. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, well, check the evidence. Oh, there's no evidence. Too bad for you. Sucks to be you, right? So
all around him are stupid people doing stupid things, or smart people doing stupid things. And all that's going to come out. That's why McConnell is changing his face with respect to this issue.
Well, he was always like, this is a horrible day. But he was doing his friends a favor because he realized, I mean, some of his friends probably went to him and said, look, I'm on those texts. You know, they're going to fire me in the middle of this, you know, blah, blah, blah.
It was the worst day in American history that anybody can think of back to when the British burned the damn White House down. That's how bad this is.
Right. And to be totally honest with you, let's just imagine if they weren't white people that were doing it. Now, the very worst would be if there was a bunch of Muslims outside, you know, Islamic people outside, Congress, congregating and about to bust down the windows. I think they would have shot a little quicker, don't you?
Probably would never have happened because the National Guard would certainly have been present so that there would have been no march on the White House.
All right, so my question is this. Joe Scarborough said it best. He said, you know, if those would have been black people on a Black Lives Matter rally, they would have all been shot in the face. And that would have been it. And nobody would have complained. Nobody would have been like, oh, why did they shoot those poor people? The answer would have been, they attacked the Capitol, right? And it made all the sense in the world. Dr. Mack, you know, do you hear me, Dr. Mack? You still there? He's still there? Oh, he cut off? All right, so we got him cut off. Are we good for a break? All right, so we're going to be good for a break in 2 minutes. I want to go a little bit further with this. We were supposed to have a break like 10 minutes ago, but we're going to keep going because we're having some technical problems right now, and I want to move on to the next subject if possible. But that was a terrible thing, and we all know that this is not over. They're trying to get done by next year, by the midterms next year, because they think that the Republicans are going to win, and they think the Republicans are going to shut down the – I don't think they can do it that easily. But they're a little afraid that Republicans are going to shut down the whole thing.
This news is bad news for the Republicans because every day something more comes out about some Republican banana head who did something stupid and frightening and kept a record of it. And so this may help the Democrats in the next election. So keeping it alive is a good idea.
Now, I want to bring up something that we missed that we haven't spoken about. No one's spoken about this, and I'm really surprised. Is this abortion pill? We've been worried about the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade for I don't know how many years now. The Republicans have been stacking justices on the Supreme Court. They got three now just for the purpose of overturning Wade. 2 days ago, the FDA announces, you know what? We're just going to make abortion into a pill and send it to everybody, which effectively makes this discussion at the Supreme Court kind of obsolete, right?
I'm not a medical doctor, but I gather this is a lot more interesting than it appears on its face. In the first place, I think it's two pills, that is to say, two pieces of medication, and you have to do both of them. What states can do to prevent, God forbid, physicians who have state licenses from sending such pills out will become an interesting legal issue to be litigated down the road.
I don't know. Can they do that? I mean, you've been in practice a whole lot longer than I have. But, you know, if the FDA says that this can be sent through the mail, state to state, you know, can a state say it can't be sent to my state? Let's say they can only send it to New York. New York doctors can only send it to New York residents, right? What stops people from crossing state lines?
Well, isn't the real question, if your state says that abortions are illegal,
right, then you can't take the pill in that state?
I don't know that any doctor is going to risk his license by sending the pill to somebody when he's been...
Well, they can't send it out of state, but they can send it to somebody in state. You know, I mean, let's be honest. People share their OxyContin pills, right? That's how people die, right? They sell their pills. People share their prescriptions all the time. And I'm saying once things go into prescription form, the FDA knows this. The FDA knows that people are going to cross state lines. They know that people have two addresses. They know that people can get their hands on pills and then take them to Texas for their cousin or their girlfriend or whatever. Like, I mean, you remember the days when people got illegal abortions, I'm sure, right?
You know I do.
So if people can get illegal abortions, they certainly can get their hands on pills. I feel like this is the FDA's way of, like, stopping the Supreme Court from making really big changes.
That's an interesting notion that you would ascribe to a federal agency. that kind of imprimatur.
Okay. So there are other states doing other things as well, right? We have California saying we're going to be a sanctuary for abortions. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that just because the feds say that we're not going to regulate abortion doesn't make it illegal. Right,
it's going to come down ultimately to being a state issue.
By state issue.
Yes, and if it's a state by state issue, then we're going to have all kinds of interesting laws, some of them very bad, some of them okay, and whether women are going to continue to have the right to have control over their bodies will become an interesting question going back, setting us back another 100 years.
Now, if those transitions were awkward for you, listener, that's because we went plenty of time without a break. I'm told now that our computer is cooperating with us, so let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we're going to try to come back with something hard and nice. So enjoy this new song. We're going to play Happy Holidays just to get to the Christmas spirit. This is by my friend Saranda G. Please enjoy it. Know you got it here.
Sunrise, a stocking full of candy and a big surprise. Look at the happiness in their eyes. They're glad it's Christmas.
People caroling into the night. Where the snow is falling, there'll be sleigh bells rise tonight. We'll snuggle to a nice warm fire. I'm glad it's Christmas. But before this day gets underway, think of how much love you wish to give today. Then wonder why we can't give it all every day.
There is no reason.
Every season in love, people really need one another. Man, woman, boy, girl, sister, and brother, we wish you. Wish happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays, happy holidays.
And for this holiday season celebration, let's lift our hands to the holy nation to say thank you, Father. Yeah. And happy birthday to your son.
My friends, that song is Happy Holidays by my homegirl Saranda G. You can find her music wherever you get your music, and right now she's performing all over the place, so check her out. Remember, you heard her first on The Jamal Show, The Place to Get Intelligent. Moving on, it is most definitely a pleasure to have you back with us on The Jamal Show on WKND and on podcast. I am Jamal. Sometimes it takes me all day to get nothing done. Not everybody likes me, but not everybody matters to me. By the way, I know Victoria's Secret. I've known it for years, and I'm taking that secret to the grave with me. I'd much rather say oops than what if. My name is Jamal, and my road to success is still under construction. Thanks for being with us. You are appreciated by more than just the dust mites on your pillow. You're special just like everybody else. Let's move on. So, Attorney Rose, it appears that Joe Biden's social spending and climate policy bill has stalled in the Senate, all but extinguishing hopes of it passing this year. President Joe Manchin is a conservative Democrat who has not signed off on a $1.75 trillion proposal. It means any vote on the bill will likely slip into 2022, when the coming midterm elections will only make things harder. Tell me, Attorney Rose, is Joe Manchin a hero or a villain?
He's from West Virginia.
Oh, that answers it. He's a Democrat.
Let's start there.
He's a Democrat.
And he claims to be a Democrat, but think about the man's origins. He makes millions of dollars every year from
coal
through his family. He's not a Democrat. He's an American, I suppose, but he's a dangerous man, and it's frightening to me to think that somebody from West Virginia can have all that power.
Dangerous
over
man.
The operations of a nation.
Well, you know how you get that power. You know how you get that power. You become a Democrat who can win West Virginia.
And that'll do it, I guess.
I think he's the only Democrat, probably in the world, that can win West Virginia. He comes in the tradition of the Dixiecrats, which you're very familiar with, I think. Without the racism.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, we haven't investigated that aspect of him yet, but maybe it needs to be.
Is Max still around? Oh, he's off again. We have some computer problems today. So you don't necessarily think that Joe Manchin, who I call the president right now, is looking out for America's best interest. Because you know what he's talking about. He's talking about inflation. He's talking about how much this costs. You can't spend money you don't have. You know that better than everybody.
Earlier today, we were talking about the power of gigantic corporations. Well, none of them are bigger than the people who can cause places to be investigated for oil and water and what have you all over the world. The corporations that control the capacity to do drilling in Alaska, off the East Coast, off the West Coast. He is in league with them. They are giving him money that you can't believe. Remember, the politics in this country is really a much, much more politically, monetarily controlled thing.
Essentially, can't you give Joe Manchin credit for responding to his constituents?
Because no, he doesn't care about his constituents. He cares about the people who are keeping him in power.
So you don't give him any.
I don't give him any credit. I think he's a dangerous beast.
You know, and he's giving Joe Biden some problems because Joe Biden. I mean, come on. You know, I think this was disingenuous how Joe Manchin did this. Right? He says, okay, pass the first bill. I'm on board with the second bill. Don't worry about it. You can get me there. They passed the first bill, and now more and more, it seems like he's not even interested in the second bill. He's like, you passed the first. All right, cool. He's not even interested. Well, we're very lucky today because we have a fellow attorney on the phone, someone with a wonderful reputation in Connecticut. First time I've talked to him on my show. I'd like to welcome Mr. John Britton on a program. Mr. Britton, are you on?
Good morning.
My man.
Good morning.
Your name is known in this studio, my friend. My friend, what are you thinking about what we're discussing today? What do you think about this... you know, Joe Manchin holding up this Build Back Better plan, Mr. Britton?
I think from Joe Manchin to all of the voter suppression and the challenge to teaching about racism with critical race theories is taking us back to pre-1950, pre-1940s, going back to almost de jure segregation, but it's dressed up in fancy clothes today.
So you think this critical race theory stuff is a little bit overblown, huh?
I think it is part of a tool to generate white supremacist support and to use non...
Here are all the people who never show up to PTA meetings. All of a sudden, they're in the middle of a pandemic, so they can show up to their kids' schools. Now that they show up to their kids' schools, they find out that their kids, yes, have learned about the life of Harriet Tubman. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute, I didn't know this is what they're learning. Because you never bothered to show up before, right? They're teaching the same thing that they taught me, except they taught me more lies. Isn't it funny how everyone was comfortable with the lies about Christopher Columbus while I was growing up? We had a day for him to celebrate his birthday. Oh, he discovered America, even though there are people over here. I mean, as outrageous as that sounds, they told us that a man discovered a place that had people there already. And we ate that up for decades.
And many other men had been here hundreds of years before that fool, that racist, that slave owner.
I mean, it's crazy. Not only was he a racist, but he was a murderer. I mean, this is a guy that murdered people, idolizing him for centuries, right? It's only in the recent times that the truth about Christopher Columbus has come out, right? There was no stuff about you're indoctrinating our kids then. Nobody had any problem with lying to us about that. Even though they knew people were already in America when he got here. You know, and they knew he murdered people. Now, we tell some truth about what's actually going on. And it's like, we don't want you teaching our kids to hate themselves. Well, I mean, you kind of, that's a dead giveaway, right?
You got to remember who wrote history. And we're doing an interesting job of investigating that. I grew up around Native Americans. Talk to the Wampanoag about who wrote history.
Let's let John get in on this. John, you got something to say on this?
Yes, John. Just look at the recent event in Glastonbury, Connecticut, asking to eliminate a sign, a mascot of a tomahawk, which is discriminatory against Native American Indians. And a fight broke out in the board meeting when someone fought with a board member, punching each other. And the punching at the board meeting is drastic enough, but the substance was the Board of Education had decided to drop that mascot, which is discriminatory against Native Americans. Hell with Columbus saying, I discovered something. How are you going to discover something when indigenous people have already lived there? That's why we call Columbus Day now Indigenous Peoples Day.
He was just a dude who didn't know where he was going, wound up in the West Indies thinking he was in India.
Not only did he want to use mascots, but these are people who really are tied to these statues. Remember the statues coming down for the summer? That whole summer where Thomas Jefferson, all these statues came down down in D.C. and stuff. And they were getting mad about that. Oh, that's our history. That's our culture. That's all this. That's all that. You know, I would really be interested to see if there's ever going to be a football team called the Omaha White Boys. Or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's almost like they want to appropriate something else, but they don't want to appropriate their own thing. You know what I'm saying? And these are, and this is not all white people, obviously. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, these are issues that are coming up, and they're cultural issues, and they're going to be big in the midterm election, don't you think?
John?
Yes, I think they will be very big because they are what you would call the whistles. The whistles of white racism. And like dogs, everybody comes who is in support of it.
This reminds me of an old Chris Rock joke. He used to say, you know who the most racist people are in the country? Old black men. He's like, you know why? Because they were there, like, when things were really bad, right?
The question is, how bad can they get again?
You think they can get bad again like that?
More people voted in the last election than God maybe in any election ever. But that's all good, and that's all bad, all in the same voice, because the kind of baloney that's being spread as gospel in this country is going to lure the racists out, and they're all going to vote again. The best thing that the Republicans, quote-unquote, have going for them is that they can, that we thought was settled, to bring people out to vote on their behalf and against rational democracy.
Well, how's this for a segue, right? The Republican Party we just talked about, the last time voting rights came up, they voted for it. They were actually voting for it unanimously. Now voting rights comes up, and not one of them wants to vote for voting rights. And so the idea of the Democrats doing it on their own has become a big thing. The idea of using a temporary filibuster, like a carve-out, for voting rights has gained traction after Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema voted to use a similar tactic last week to get the debt ceiling up. So the question is, this leads us to a Jamal Show Award winner, in fact, Senator Raphael Warnock. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's not getting the Jamal Show Award for being the pastor to fill the shoes of Dr. Martin Luther King at Ebenezer Baptist Church. even though he should get an award for that, because I couldn't do that. Imagine filling Dr. King's shoes, man. I couldn't imagine trying to fill his shoes anywhere. But Senator Warnock gets the award primarily for saying this. I'm just play the trumpets right quick. This was an excellent speech, and it's only a minute, so I just want you to listen close to what he said about this.
If we are serious about protecting the right to vote that's under assault right now, here's the truth. It will fall to Democrats to do it. And if Democrats alone must raise the debt ceiling, then Democrats alone must raise and repair the ceiling of our democracy. How do we in good conscience justify doing one and not the other? Some of my Democratic colleagues are saying, but what about bipartisanship? Isn't that important? I say, of course it is. But here's the thing we must remember. Slavery was bipartisan. Jim Crow segregation was bipartisan. The refusal of women's suffrage was bipartisan. The denial of the basic dignity of members of the LGBTQ community has long been bipartisan. The Three-Fifths Compromise was the creation of a putative national unity at the expense of black people's basic humanity. So when colleagues in this chamber talk to me about bipartisanship, which I believe in, I just have to ask, at whose expense?
Now, that is a professional speaker, if I've ever heard one. That was a that's a guy that can take Martin Luther King's space, seat in a church. Senator Warnock puts things into perspective there, doesn't he? You can tell he's a public speaker. Do you guys believe that voting rights should be legislated now by the Democrats by any means necessary?
Yes.
let's get Mr. Britton on this. Do you believe it should be legislated by the Democrats by any means necessary, including temporarily carving out the filibuster, Mr. Britton?
Absolutely. And this week, they finally pushed Biden to go and put his Better America bill behind and bring up the voting rights bill now, because I just don't understand the logic of either Manchin or some other Democrats that are could have cool on this John Lewis and other voting rights bill. If black and brown, disabled, elderly people, all protected by certain voting rights that are in that statute, if they don't pass this bill, how can they win against Republicans?
We'll say so this. They might as well say I think that every time you have an attack on the minority vote, you have a backlash. You do have a backlash. Remember, they tried this many times in the 60s. They were, in Reconstruction, they were very successful with it. But nowadays, when you try to repress a vote, what you usually get is the people come, a backlash, people even standing in line longer, going further to vote. Isn't that true, Mr. Britton?
Well, that's what they did in Atlanta, and that's why we elected those two Democratic senators. But just today, the people call me from Texas who are in the county. They're called commissioners, and they've now been redistricted out of their seat by the way they took whites and surrounded them in majority. So they're planning all the way down from legislative districts, congressional districts, commissioner districts. Heck, they might get into city council districts. And they're trying to elect all.
I think gerrymandering, what you just named, is different because that's an actual real danger. Because that means that no matter how many people vote, you know, they can only vote for candidates that you put in front of them, right? That's people choosing their voters as opposed to the voters choosing them.
The voting rights world is an absolute mess. We had a perfectly good voting rights bill that needed some fixing. Putting John Lewis's name on it seemed like it was going to be the best way forward, and suddenly it's become anathema to people who want to control the White House, the Senate, who want to dump on black people the whole notion that white people should be better and should prevail over them, which is old and stupid. And I almost want to go down to Georgia and get involved with some of the politics there to make sure that people like the black woman who is running the world around there politically gets reelected.
You may not have to go down there because we're about to. I mean, Stacey Abrams, who I know you're talking
Abrams
about,
is amazing.
She's pretty scary, isn't she? I mean, not for us. Yeah, she's scary for the other side. She knows how to win elections. John, what do you have for me, John Britton?
Well, Stacey Abrams won this election on Georgia's half discriminatory voting laws. She figured out a way to go around them. And so they're continuing to tighten these voting laws to give white privilege and white preference in voting. But let's go back to the United States Senate in particular. Why won't the Senate leadership under Chuck Schumer from New York say, you're not going home for Christmas until you take a vote on this voting rights bill?
Pass? Even if it doesn't pass?
Well, they will go to vote with the kind of pressure that you can't go home until you vote for it. I'm talking about the Democrats. They only need 50 Democrats.
Problem is, here's the problem. The problem is that when Republicans don't vote with you, you need 60 votes to pass anything. You need 60 votes to pass anything. The Republicans weren't even going to pass the debt ceiling. We're about to default on debt, and they were like, your problem, even though it's everybody's problem, right? They actually wouldn't participate in passing the debt ceiling, something that's never been going back on in the history of America.
But you can't expect them to be like,
oh, we're going to let black people vote now.
I think what John is saying is that the Democrats who are in positions to make the Republicans do things they need to do that.
Put it
to
a vote.
Say, Schumer needs to step up. He's from New York, for God's sakes. He needs to step up and make the Republicans take the position.
But you know that
people, is just as bad as...
You know, we're all lawyers, right? So we don't like asking questions unless we know the answer already in court, right? You don't want to go out badly. So, I mean, he has two senators that refuse to go back on a filibuster for anything but the debt ceiling.
They're not the only ones who are reluctant, Republican
bipartisanship. Right, John Britton?
Yes, but Jamal, there are a few other Democrats besides the Democrat from West Virginia and the Democrat from Arizona. There are a few others who are still cool. But he has to whip them in shape. But I'm not saying vote on the Voting Rights Act when you don't have the bill. I'm saying vote on another exception to the that keeps them together. And
he knows every Schumer knows every weak point these people have. He knows what they want. He knows what they want for their states. He can push people to the point where they need to be looking at this issue and maybe changing their mind or getting out of the way.
Right.
Well, get the filibuster out of the way. Get the filibuster first. To go down, as you said, Jamal. Here they have all these exceptions to the filibuster. Picking Supreme Court judges. Voting on the tax bill. Voting on budget bill. Voting on the debt bill. They have a whole history of exceptions to the filibuster. Why don't they create a system which is the heart and the strength of our democracy in making voting fair for all?
As to why Republicans don't vote for Voting Rights Act now, but they did 10 years ago, right? Because they're afraid now. They weren't afraid 10 years ago. Now they're afraid of being taken over and not having enough votes to put Republicans in power, right? Before we move on, we only have 10 minutes left. I want you guys to listen to what I took time to prepare. I just wanted to prepare. We talked about the January 6th Commission a little bit, and I just wanted you to hear some of the text messages that were given by some of the Congress people. I put this together from Liz Cheney, who's very courageous, by the way. I've always hated Dick Cheney. I've always hated the Cheneys.
From Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah.
With 10 people in it, you know. Why do we have a North and a South Dakota with four senators from both of them? And it's like less people in both states than on the west side of Manhattan. But that's gerrymandering. We'll talk about that another time. I want you to hear what some of these text messages were about. Very, very interesting. Only about a...
We are under siege here at the Capitol. Another quote, they have breached the Capitol. In a third, Mark, protesters are literally storming the Capitol, breaking windows on doors, rushing in. Is Trump going to say something? A fourth, there's an armed standoff at the House chamber door. And another from someone inside the Capitol. We are all helpless. Dozens of texts, including from Trump administration officials, urged immediate action by the president. Quote, POTUS has to come out firmly and tell the protesters to dissipate. Someone is going to get killed.
And someone did.
In another, Mark, he needs to stop this now. A third, in all caps, tell them to go home.
Anyone could imagine if that was Barack Obama saying, oh, I'm just going to watch it on TV. Would he or would he not have been impeached? All right, guys, I just want to watch it on TV, right? Leave me alone, you know? Would he have not been impeached?
I assume that that's the case, but it's frightening to think, again, that we put in office this banana whose positions would be what they are, who would rally people to commit what I think is the most grievous offense you can commit as an American citizen, which is an assault on your government.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of pushback on that. He was wrong. But let me just say this. If I tell people I'll meet you at the Capitol and I don't walk there, he's like, I'll meet you at the Capitol. And he walked the other way. If I would have seen that, I'd been like, okay, this guy's a clown. He's not going there.
You talked earlier about the fact that he never sent any emails. He's protecting himself. He knows he's not all that bright, but he knows enough not to get himself into a position where he can be directly assaulted with respect to violations of law.
But what are these other people? These other people, the Fox News hosts, that are going on TV and saying, you know, this guy's always right, and we got to support Trump. And then they get on the phone with him and say, man, can we stop this dude? What can we do to stop this guy? Can somebody please tell him the right thing to do? I mean, he's getting advised by news people.
He's dumb enough to believe that his notions of taking this country and changing it over into some manner of monstrosity that only he could comprehend.
Even Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, put a text that I found out. They found out one of the texts was from him advising people on how to overthrow the election. He's not even part of the administration anymore. This is just like a free-for-all. Like, hey, let's all give some suggestions on how to overthrow this thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody was worried. Hey, is this illegal? Should we be doing this? Nobody said, hey, should we be doing this? Did Joe Biden really win? John Britton, what do you think about some of those texts I played?
They're excellent. I think they are substantial proof of a possible plan for a coup d'etat. I think that Meadows should be punished for not showing up to testify before the commission and ignoring a subpoena. I think, though, strategically, he has no other choice because his hands and his guilt are seeming to be suspicion all the way up to his neck in it. And I think, by the way, that if we had protesters at the Capitol who were black and brown and other white allies demonstrating the way they did, they would have blown them all away. And yet,
well, already that we had black and brown people outside the White House, right? And then what did Trump do? He came out to hold the Bible upside down, right? He tear gassed everybody. He said, oh, now's
and
a good time.
And then he brought the helicopters in to buzz
them. And show my ass a little bit. You know, go ahead.
And he brought the helicopters in to buzz him.
White House. You know, got people with tear gas. And these are white people. He didn't care. He's an equal opportunity offender, right?
It's a reminder, right, John, about what Plato said about democracy and what Winston Churchill says about democracy. It's the best we got. It ain't good, but we could do something as incredible as electing that man to be president of the United States. It's just incredible to those of us who have some thought in life.
Okay, so it's been a little bit of a rough show. We got like 1 minute left, but what I want to do is give all you guys a statement. Any statement you want to make. This is the last show of the year. Mr. Britt, to see you in person next year in January, if possible. We'll be talking about that. Give me something deep and intelligent that only a man of 81 can come up with at the last minute of a show.
I am grateful for my children. I'm grateful for an opportunity to be this age and be in a position to talk to people on the radio. And I'm only hopeful that this country will be better in spite of itself.
That's actually wonderful. Mr. Britton, what you got for us today?
I'd like to pay tribute to my beloved brother, John Rose. John Rose holds the distinction of being the longest-serving licensed attorney in Connecticut who is an African-American. And I take my hat off to his very distinguished career. John, how long have you been licensed to practice law in the state of Connecticut?
Since 1966, June.
And I will have you know that just living to 81 as a black man is indeed a challenge. So congratulations on that. I want to take the time
and
to
I thank John, and I thank you, Mom, according to John, who keeps the record, that I may be number two because I was licensed in 1969.
Well, did you go to Yale as well?
No, I went to Howard University Law School.
I was just told by a black doctor from Howard that Howard graduates more black doctors than almost every other school in the nation. Like they graduate like half of the nation's black doctors at one school. I had no idea. So that says a lot for credibility and legitimacy. In any case, I want to thank all the people that are here today. I hope to see y'all again next year. I hope you're not tired of coming. Sorry for the technical problems today. And we'll be seeing Matt come back as well. Thanks to all my friends, the people that send music. We will be back for the Jamal Show for our fourth season next year. Please join us. Same time, same bat channel, 10 o'clock every other Saturday morning. We will still be running the Jamal Facebook page. Please join and like it. And if you have anything to say, save it for the Bishop. I bid you all a good day. I want a fair fight. And please, let's try not to kick each other in the balls, all right?
Have Take a good care, day. John. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Let me say goodbye
this
to John.
This is the Jamal Show.
Down in.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. Jamal. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.